Well, as I mentioned in the children's message, we're going to be looking at the book of James this morning. And if your memory for the book of James is really good, you would have recognized that passage that I said to them is James 1:16, or I'm sorry, 17. But anyway, if you would please rise for the hearing of God's word, we're going to read James 1:16 through 21. We read in Jesus' holy name. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own he brought for us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word out of the book of James. God, as we look at James chapter 1 this morning, I pray that you would show us our sin and where we have fallen short of your glory. And Lord, I pray that you would also point us to Jesus Christ, your Son, the perfect gift, who lived, suffered, died, and rose again, that we might have forgiveness and new life in you. God, today, by your word, strengthen our faith and equip us for your service, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Just so you guys know, this upcoming Saturday is May 25th. I know that's a strange way to open a sermon, isn't it? To just give you a random date that's coming up. I'm sure you're left wondering why I would fill you in on this bit of chrononomical facts. I had to look that word up. Chrononomical is, you know, the study of calendars and time. Rather than leaving you in suspense, I'll fill you in so that you don't spend the whole sermon wondering why I gave you that. Next Saturday, the 25th of May, marks a very important date. Because on the 25th of May, you only have 7 short months until Christmas Day. Before you know it, the stores are going to be filled with Christmas decorations, and all of us are going to be going out searching for the perfect gifts for those we love. Now, usually when you give a gift, the goal is to give something that people want, something that they will enjoy, or something that they will cherish. And that can be a really difficult thing. Even if you know the person well, sometimes you don't knock the gift out of the park. Sometimes you do, and the person absolutely loves it, but sometimes you miss the mark completely, and people are left perplexed, wondering why you would ever buy them such a thing. Now, when I was a teenager, my mom's family started exchanging names for gift giving, so kind of cut down on the cost of Christmas time. And I remember the first year where we exchanged names pretty clearly. I don't remember all of it. I don't remember who I bought a gift for or what I got them, but I do remember who had me and the gift that they gave to me. It was my Uncle David that year that was giving me the gift. And David and I, we've always gotten along pretty well. When I was a little kid, he still lived at home with his parents, my grandparents, and so on Sunday mornings and afternoons, sometimes I would go down and watch football with him in the basement. So my Uncle Dave was the guy who started to teach me the rules of my very favorite sport to both watch and to play. As I got into my teen years, I loved collecting football cards, and Dave did too. So before I was able to drive, he would take me to the card stores, and we would buy cards, and he always wanted the Minnesota Vikings ones, and I wanted the Buffalo Bills ones, so we'd do some trading and get the cards we wanted. It was really a fun time that we would have with one another. So for this particular Christmas, Dave was giving me my one and only gift, and I knew that Dave got me, right? Dave understood me, and I expected it to be a good gift. So I was handed my gift, and I opened it up, and it was a Minnesota Vikings jersey. I think it was Randy Moss, if I'm remembering correctly, but either way, it wouldn't have mattered who it was. I was not impressed. they said, no, wait, we got you another gift. And they handed me another one, and I opened it up, and it was a Minnesota Vikings baseball cap. This went on with four or five gifts. Vikings keychains, Vikings socks, Vikings blanket, Vikings everything. All of it I had zero interest in whatsoever. I was completely confused and puzzled as to why Dave, who knew me and knew I didn't like the Vikings, would give me all of these things. That is, until Dave opened a gift from his wife, and it happened to be a Buffalo Bills fleece blanket. It was the last gift opened that Christmas Eve. And after he opened it, he graciously offered to exchange that blanket for all of the Vikings gear. Dave knocked the gift out of the park that year, even though it didn't seem like it at first. I still have that blanket in my living room. If you come over and you're cold on the couch, you will probably end up being covered up with that very blanket that was given to me. Dave may have succeeded, but sometimes when we give gifts to people, no matter how much we do our research, we end up giving gifts that people don't like. Gifts that'll leave people puzzled and wondering, what in the world were they thinking giving me something like this? Do they really understand me at all? Now, the gifts that should never be puzzling at all are the gifts that come from above, the higher things. As we just read in the book of James, God is the giver of all good things. He's given to us all that we have and all that we are. Every gift, every good thing given, it comes from above. From God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, our Father who art in heaven. We're blessed recipients of the first article and fourth petition gifts. Now, I'm sure you all have your catechisms still completely memorized and can recall those sections on command, so we don't really need to unpack that right now. Pastor Mars, just as a proof of concept, just tell everyone what's on the tip of our tongues with First Commandment and Fourth Article. All right. Yeah, confirmation was a long time ago for almost all of us, wasn't it? And those things, they start to slip pretty quickly. I imagine that if you went through confirmation, when I read what I'm about to read, you're going to remember it and be able to say parts of it along the way. But to have it still memorized and able to be recalled in a crystal clear way, it's a difficult task. Now, it's a worthwhile thing to go back and refresh those good and faithful teachings that we first learned in our teen years. When we take a look at the Creed and the Lord's Prayer in Luther's Small Catechism, we find that these two parts of the Catechism are actually dealing with very similar things. In the Creed, we are confessing that God gives to us all that we need to support our body and life. And in the Lord's Prayer, when we are asking God for our daily bread, Luther explains daily bread is everything that has to do with the support and needs of this body. When we ask God to provide our daily bread, Luther correctly says that we're asking that God would provide food and drink, clothing, shoes, house and home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather. I think that means not snow in May, right? No, the moisture's good. He would give us peace and health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. And when we confess the Creed, we're confessing faith in our Heavenly Father, the giver of good gifts, which Luther correctly explains by saying that God has given me my body and soul, my eyes and ears and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. Even though God graciously and freely gives all of those things that were explained in the first article and in the fourth petition, too often we sinful human beings think that it's not enough. We want more than what God has given to us. And so we live our lives without thankful hearts before God. We live our lives not recognizing his good and gracious gifts. So instead of being quick to hear and slow to speak, we're quick to speak and slow to hear. When we get angry, our anger is not always, and maybe it's rarely, a righteous anger. We get mad because people have inconvenienced us or bruised our egos, and our anger, the anger of man, James tells us, does not achieve the righteousness of God. We continue to show our lack of gratitude to God as we continue to break his Ten Commandments. As Luther explains in the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer, we sin daily much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. As we're going to confess in a few minutes, right, as we go to the Lord's table, we are going to say that we are broken in what we do and in what we fail to do. We're going to say that we have offended God. Excuse me. We've offended God not only by our thanklessness for the good gifts, we've also offended God by being thankless for his perfect gift, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. You see, our sinful pride doesn't want to hear that we cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ or come to him. It doesn't like to hear that we cannot earn our way into heaven. It doesn't like to be left with nothing to boast about. When we get a gift, generally, we like to tell other people about it, as long as it's a gift we like and it's important to us. God has given us many good things. He gives us this day and every day our daily bread. God has given us an even greater gift, the greatest gift of all, a gift that is so good that it is absolutely perfect. He has given to us his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus came down from heaven, put on the same flesh as we fallen human beings, and he did it so that he could bear our sin and be our Savior. God's love for us is so great that he offered up his own Son to be the payment for our sins. How is this the perfect gift? Well, in the Greek, that word for perfect that James uses in our text is the same root that Jesus said on the cross just before he gave up his spirit and breathed his last. On the cross, he said, "Tetelestai," it is finished. It's the same word that's used for perfect here in James. That Greek word can also be translated completed or perfected. See, only Jesus could make and be the perfect sacrifice to pay for the sins of the world. Only Jesus paid for those sins, giving his body over to be crucified and shedding his blood to be the atonement to cover our sins and the sins of the entire world. His blood and his blood alone cleanses us, purifies us, and removes the curse of sin. Even more, Jesus rose from the dead on the third day to give eternal life to all who believe in him, opening the kingdom heaven to all who believe. That life is for you and it is for me. Christ Jesus rose to give you his perfect gifts of forgiveness and life in his name. The writer of James tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from above. And this is most certainly true because your Lord and Savior Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, comes down into his house. He comes to you. Today he comes to give you his perfect gift offered through his perfect means of grace. The perfect gifts that God gave first at your baptism. The gifts that are offered and freely given through his holy word. And the gifts that come when Jesus' body and blood are held in your hands and touch your lips at the Lord's table, which we will be blessed to go to again today. Hear what Martin Luther said in a sermon some 500 years ago. He said, "When you are baptized, partake of Holy Communion, receive the absolution, or listen to a sermon, heaven is open, and we hear the voice of the Heavenly Father. All these works descend upon us from the open heaven above us. God converses with us, provides for us, and Christ hovers over us invisibly. And even though there were clouds above us, as impervious as iron or steel, obstructing our view of heaven, this would not matter. Still, we hear God speaking to us from heaven. We call and cry to him, and he answers us. Heaven is open. As St. Stephen saw it open in Acts 7:55. And we hear God when he addresses us in baptism, Holy Communion, confession, and in his holy word as it proceeds from the mouth of men who proclaim his message to the people. So here again the words that were already read by Pastor Mars this morning from the prophet Isaiah. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. For he comes down to you from heaven. He comes for you and for the life of the world. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done graciously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Why do we sing praises to God? As Isaiah says, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, you turned your anger away so that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. The perfect gift comes down from heaven for us, for you and for me, for the life of the world. And thanks be to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage in James, where we are reminded that you give every good and perfect gift. Lord, everything we are and everything we have is a gift from you. Allow us to be a people that live in light of that, in view of that, to be a people who are constantly giving you thanks for every good gift, and most importantly, a people who are resting in and trusting in your perfect gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Lord, who laid down his life that we might have life eternal. Lord, thank you for the gifts you give. I pray this in your holy name. Amen.